Women have far scarier nightmares than men, dreams so intense we can describe them in terrifying detail when we jolt awake. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you how sleep experts explain this in a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
A giant monster is gaining on you. Its jaws are opening. You see its fangs, then bam, you're awake. Phew, not to worry. You just had one of those Friday the 13th nightmares again. Nightmares. Everybody gets them. But one study in England finds that women have twice as many terrifying dreams as men. Why the disparity? Scientists say it's because women have trouble switching off emotions when they go to bed. For them, dreaming is a subconscious way to prepare for bad stuff ahead. So guys, the next time your wife wakes up in a cold sweat, cut her some slack. A little extra TLC might be in order. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht. More news and information at KatherineAlbrecht.com. Finally, some nuclear news to cheer. The most powerful weapon in our atomic arsenal has been dismantled. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you about the last days of a frightening bomb they called the B-53 in a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Here's news that could make even a cold warrior smile. The aging B-53, the last of our nation's most powerful nuclear bombs, has been quietly taken apart at a plant near Amarillo, Texas. Dating way back to 1962, the Cold War and the Cuban Missile Crisis, the B-53 was the size of a minivan and weighed 10,000 pounds. This ancient nuke was 600 times more powerful than the one dropped on Hiroshima, which killed at least 140,000 people. Now the biggest nuke we've got is the B-83, a similar killer now pushing 30 years old. Will it take us half a century to retire that one? Let's hope not. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht. More news and information at KatherineAlbrecht.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Truth News Radio Australia, coming to you on the 17th of October, 2012. My name's Harold Fenton, and I'll be your host for the next 2 hours. I hope you enjoy the show. I have in the first hour as my guest Damon Crowe, regular guest on this show. And in the second hour, we have Chris Emery coming on to talk about his latest film projects and everything that's going on in his neck of the woods up in Oklahoma City in the US. So I do hope you enjoy the show. My first hour guest, Damon, knows a lot about a lot of things, and he runs a very successful telecommunications company. And we've actually been talking just before we started up here about some of the problems that we encounter dealing on a professional level with people who, according to their credentials and qualifications, you would expect to be pretty smart and pretty good at solving problems, especially when that is technically what they do for a living. And yet, ironically, it turns out that a lot of people who are highly qualified on paper are actually really hopeless at solving problems. And Damon, if you could just pick up where you left off. I mean, we were talking there about some of your engineering colleagues, and then we were talking about the medical profession. But I pick it up wherever you feel is appropriate.
Well, Yeah, this is just another observation of people in your daily life. I'm finding that this world is an illusionary world, and a lot of the people that are in it don't realise they're under some sort of magic spell. And as a result, they're not aware of their own psychosis. And a lot of them have such poor self-awareness of their own behaviour, they quite often project their own behaviour directly onto you, is an observation I've found. So I find people that are hopelessly immature projecting and telling you that you're immature back to them, or that you're technically incompetent, you know, when in fact they're showing every sign that that's exactly what they are. And it's this kind of reverse mind game and projecting their behavior onto you that you find a lot of psychotic people indulge in. And the fact is there are a large percentage of people that are psychotic. If you actually did a diagnosis of the general psychological profile of the community as a collective, you would say it was psychotic and completely delusional, because it believes in a completely illusionary financial system, a completely illusionary legal system, a completely illusionary education system. Everything they've been told about World War One and World War Two is an illusion. We've touched briefly on the illusions of going to the moon, but that would probably be a subject you'd go for literally days upon. And these people are under some sort of magic spell and not aware of their own psychotic delusions. And a lot of those delusions go are centered upon themselves, because this whole magic trick that's been portrayed on the people is allowed to happen because of the psychotic condition of the masses. And they let it go on. A lot of people blame the media, which I think is a cop-out. The only reason that that these people are allowed to get away with what they're getting away with is because of the collective and individual psychosis of the people. And you only need to engage with them on a daily basis to realise the percentage of people that fit that category.
Yeah, of course, it is a mass psychosis. I mean, you know, typically when people are psychotic in the classic, you know, mental illness type way, they have their own kind of fantasies and delusions that are quite specific to them. But what we have in modern society is more of a mass psychosis, in that there's a collective belief in, for example, the reality of the paper that they carry around in their wallets, believing that that actually really represents something. And of course, that is a type of delusion indeed, and yet that is what the country, what the economy, what the whole world runs on. I mean, wow.
Yeah, I mean, you have a look at these people. They have put in a spell for the last solar zodiac, the period of Pisces, of course, represented, you know, with the Pisces symbols within the Vatican and so forth, for the last, you know, 2,150 years or whatever the exact period of a zodiac cycle of Pisces is, as we're going into the age of Aquarius. And they have installed for the period, and you've got to give them standing ovation, an illusionary belief system. Multiples thereof, which the people have gladly accepted without question, and that has served them very well. An illusionary financial system based on something so precarious, so mathematically fraudulent, that if you did have three quarters of static or negative growth, it would potentially throw it into a devastating tailspin. And in fact, in 2008, it came so precariously collapsed to global collapse that if the government at the time, I think it was Bush handing over to Obama, that if they weren't bailed out, the whole global financial crisis would unfold and the world become dysfunctional and inoperative. And what system would you have globally, where 7 billion people's lives are at stake, where you don't have a backup? And what is so fragile, that is, if you slightly have anything more than three quarters of non-growth, the whole thing grows into a tailspin. And of course, what they did to fix this system was to inject more and more cancer into the dead patient, with the view that when it finally does die, there'll be absolutely no chance of resurrecting it off the gurney, because it will be so stone grandmotherly dead from the toxic chemotherapy / debt that has received over the last 4 years, that this little patient will not be getting off the operating table when they decide to disconnect the life support system, which they will be doing at a time of their choosing, I suspect.
Right. Wow. That was quite a rant there.
Now, I think so, but it is an illusion. I tell you, the other interesting thing is there was a great movie I just saw last night. Everybody's got to see it, Killing Me Softly. That basic premise is riddled in interwoven at a deeper level into that movie, starring none other than our New World Order puppet Brad Pitt. And I tell you, the undercurrents of that is for anybody, there's a good test to see whether you're actually awake. Go and see that movie and see if you can decode it. And if you can't decode it, then you haven't clearly worked out what's going on. And if you can decode it, because it's very, very obvious, it's nowhere near as decoded as a Stanley Kubrick movie, for argument's sake, but it is very, very accurate depiction of the state that we're in right now and what is about to transpire.
Yeah, look, I definitely will check that out. Thanks, Damon. I'd like to just return to what I was saying there at the beginning about the problem-solving capabilities of people. Now, you've referred to the mass delusion, the psychosis, and I think that that is a large factor in why people cannot solve problems, because solving problems is very important, and on a daily basis, we need to do it. And, I mean, you work with engineers, numerous engineers in your business, and we were also talking before about doctors, but let's just talk about what happens with the medical profession and how I believe what they do is they simply use stored information. They regurgitate information that they've been given. And a lot of these people who are purported experts in any field will indeed have a lot of information. Of course, some of it may be faulty information, some of it may be good information, but they've just got all this information that they've acquired. And when you ask them a question or come to them with an issue, they will tend to regurgitate something that has been tagged as an answer to that question. And to me, the very interesting point here is that is not the problem-solving process at all. I mean, that is not the deductive process. That is not the inductive process. That is actually just memorization and then matching something you've said with something that's been stored. And it's something you can easily do by writing a little computer program to do it. Now,
well, I mean, the doctors are nothing more than salesmen, sales representative agents for pharmaceutical companies. I mean, you go in there and you tell me how many times you go in there and they basically start writing out a script. And it doesn't matter what you've got, it will be solved with a script. So if you're suffering from depression, which is a very normal, natural reaction at some stage in your life, when you come into grips with things that aren't going right or who you are or whatever, I mean, it's a natural part of maturing and growing up. And, of course, their reaction, of course, is to stick you on antidepressants, as if fluoride in the water wasn't enough. Which is essentially an antidepressant, because I believe 95% of Prozac is sodium fluoride. But, the doctors aren't good at solving things. They'll put a vaccine into you that they don't really know is good or indifferent or very harmful for you, because they've just got full belief in the authoritarian system that programmed them. And I find the same thing with engineers that have gone through the full induction process are very poor at deducting and resolving problems themselves. They're not good, clear, independent thinkers. They basically have blind faith in the system, which they've been habitually trained to do all their lives, and particularly when they go into university. They've been told to habitually believe what they've been told and to memorise answers to questions that they've been given. And they spend the rest of their life regurgitating the stuff that they've parroted and absorbed back to other people. And that's,
I think that's sad, because the engineers that I've got out of university, I don't classify myself as an engineer. I spent most of my life in sales and marketing, although I did have a technical background before I started. And I have solved probably 95% of the very complex technical issues that have confronted my organisation, even though I'm an unwilling technical person. And it's mainly because I have a better methodology for logical reasoning and analysis than they do. And that's, I guess, when I started to discover that most people don't have very good processes of deduction. If you go and talk about the moon or any of these things, 9/11, fluoride in the water, most people aren't very good at deducing things. They just have blind faith in the system and can't possibly believe that the system would lie to them.
And yet the inability,
their basic defense.
If I can just interject there, the inability to use the deductive reasoning that is a very important part of our brain function, the inability to use that is incredibly crippling for people. I mean, I really can't you know, overemphasize how serious it is when people do not have activated or aren't even never have developed the ability to think and problem solve for themselves. It creates a very, very alarming scenario, I believe, in society. What we're seeing now play out, we're seeing, I believe, a decay of our civilization on quite a significant level. But I do believe that it is somewhat exaggerated and accentuated in the countries like Australia that have the most intensive programs of drugging their population through agents in the water supply, but through also automatic prescriptions by doctors. No matter what you come to the doctor with, they automatically give you a prescription of some kind. And the programming of people's thinking through constant bombardment of propaganda and television. And I'd like to get more into that after we return from the break. You are with Truth News Radio Australia. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. I hope you enjoy the show.
A serial hypocrite who lobbied for Freddie Mac before the housing crisis and for the individual mandate before Obamacare. Another, a counterfeit conservative who opposes right to work, massively increased spending, and funded Planned Parenthood. Finally, a flip-flopper who's been on all sides, supported TARP bailouts, and provided the blueprint for Obamacare. Three men. One vision, more big government, more mandates, less freedom. One man stands apart, ready to deliver real change, voting against every tax increase and every unbalanced budget every time. A real plan to cut $1 trillion year one and to balance the budget in three. Pro-life, pro-right to work, guided by faith and principle. Ron Paul, the one who will restore America now.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.org.au. www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free. You with Truth News Radio Australia, and my guest today is Damon Crowe. Now, I'm currently operating from Thailand, as I've mentioned before, and I should point out, actually, Damon has provided me with an excellent communication tool while I'm here, because Damon runs a communications company in Australia, and I've got a great little number that I can use to make local calls back within Australia, very, very simply. And are we actually allowed to promote your business on the show, Damon, or is that confidential?
I've always kept them independent, so it's probably a good idea to keep them separate, I think.
All right, well let it be known that that you have actually provided me with some nice little tools there, just for anyone who's curious. Now, one thing I've noticed, Damon, in Thailand, is that, you know, the infrastructure and some of the engineering that's going on here is actually quite impressive. I mean, compared to Australia, and also when you compare the gross, revenue that Australia earns as a country with just the massive, income we get and the high living standard that we supposedly have, you would expect, would you not, that country like Thailand would, be struggling to have a very good quality public transport system. And it's completely the opposite. I mean, the public transport system here in Thailand, admittedly, it is inadequate in the sense that it is not, it doesn't cover enough of the territory of a large city like Bangkok. But in the way it's designed, it is absolutely first class. I mean, it is quite an engineering achievement what has been done here with two forms of rapid transport, the overhead railway, which is called the SkyTrain, and the underground railway. And the SkyTrain is just, quite an engineering accomplishment. They've built this right over the top of one of the densest cities, one of the most chaotic cities, and the sort of city you'd say, well, how are you ever going to put train lines through? Well, they decided to just go over the top of everything. And they work beautifully. They're incredibly efficient. They are very comfortable. They're very fast. And they're very, very cheap. But what I see in Australia, and this seems to be symptomatic of the decay of Western civilization, is the inability of the planners, the people who actually are in charge of, say, city planning, transport, corridors, all these things, to do anything right. I mean, I could go through a catalogue of absolute disasters from the cross-city tunnel, which was unneeded from the get-go because it didn't really address the main transport corridor problems. Some of the outer Sydney routes that force people to have one of these scanner cards in their car, and if you don't have a scanner card, you get fined some horrendous amount of money. No toll booths. The airport rail link, which is intrinsically a good idea. I mean, it was a good idea in itself, but because of the outrageous cost of using it, coupled with the fact that the trains that run on that airport rail link are some of the scrungiest, dirtiest, filthiest trains that Sydney has, and yet they charge this exorbitant amount, this has caused the Sydney rail link to go bankrupt, and then it was bought out by the government.
We're the South Pacific Argentina.
Yeah.
We should be rich. We should be rolling in it, but they've bankrupted us.
But there's also...
They've done us over intentionally because we're stuck in a time warp. I mean, the majority of the trains running around in Sydney, particularly the ones that go up the Central Coast and so forth, are probably 50 years old on 50-year-old plus tracks.
They're very, very old and they're very smelly. And, they don't even... I discovered, after doing a bit of research, that they do not clean Sydney trains. I mean, that itself is staggering. I mean, and this includes the trains, Damon, that go out to the international airport. The trains that are bringing people in, arriving in Australia the first time, wouldn't you think that they'd even care a little bit about that, about the image that we project? They don't even care.
Well, they've got to pay for all that security. I mean, look at how much that security must cost. I mean, there's an insane amount of security. And these guys are toothless tigers. I mean, there's a little bit of ticket inspection, but not a hell of a lot. And just a bunch of fat, overweight, middle-class Australians that wouldn't get a job anywhere else, wandering around on these trains, sucking up enormous amount of money, when really the only people you really need to be putting there is some cleaners, people to manage the thing. And look, I'm not saying that you don't need a little bit of security, but if it's public transport, then the police should be providing that. You know, the transportation organisation doesn't need to be experts in security. That's what the police are for. But they're out there, you know, gathering... revenue for the government in a whole bunch of fictitious, you know, car infringements and so forth, you know. Like
exactly.
The whole thing
The security
just,
apparatus
so
is simply there to harass people and try to get fare evaders, and as you mentioned, also people who don't pay their parking tickets. Now, in Bangkok, by contrast, that doesn't exist. I mean, I've been using the trains constantly here. There is no presence of... people checking tickets, busting people for not having tickets. That's, you know, the preponderance of what you see in Sydney. You see these gangs of the railway security police standing there, sometimes actually uniformed police as well. And quite often, Damon, I've seen this at Redfern because I caught the train to Redfern many times. In the mornings, the police are there with their sniffer dogs. So the police are there at the train station walking around, sniffing people up, and quite often they're doing random strip searches. I had this from a witness who told me that he saw a man strip search in broad daylight at Bondi Junction Station. Now, you're quite right. This preponderance of security is actually, that's where all the money's going, that's where all the effort's going. It's just a tin pot dictatorship. This is the sort of thing that we see in countries like Mexico or, you know, that is a classic Mickey Mouse dictatorship kind of scenario where you have pot-bellied, puffed-up cops running around busting people. You know, that's it. That's the scenario that we're living within.
New Zealand has got the highest levels, I think, of incarceration in the world. I think it's way higher than the US, and that's mainly because they're busting people for pot. You know, this is a completely natural wonder, flower, weed, whatever you want to call it, that's got medicinal purposes as well as, clothing and the textile and also building and all sorts of stuff can be done with hemp. It's one of the most amazing things of all time. Yet they're spending the whole time putting that away for, you know, it's so pathetic. I mean, the police system and the judicial system is just a mess. And it's not much better than the financial system, which of course is one of the first systems that's going to collapse. I think that the system is only meant to last till this era. And this era basically finishes in December. And I think in 2013, that's the number that they love. I think in say March, I'd say something like 13 of the third 13 or third of the third 13, 3313, because they love to demonize the number 13, the number of 28-day lunar months plus one perfect day to create a perfect solar year. We've been on this artificial Vatican-inspired Julian calendar of 12 uneven months. for the cycle, same cycle as the period of the belief system and the delusional financial system, the illusional medical system, the illusionary education system. And I think they're going to collapse the whole thing sometime next year. And the police, as we talk about, they've moved on from being the police force protecting the people to intimidating the people. The police are now to protect the state. They're not for the people's purpose. The police are there as enforcements, like they were in Nazi days, because the Nazis are now a manifestation of these people. So police are just nothing more than the brown shirts.
Yeah, and that's what happens as we move towards this pot-bellied, corrupt, graft-ridden dictatorship, which we've seen in many countries around the world. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
A noble lie, Oklahoma City, 1995, will change forever the way you look at the true nature of terrorism.
Based on the damage pattern to the building, what the government says is impossible.
The grand jury did not want to hear anything I had to say.
The decision was made not to pursue any more of those individuals.
Some of these columns were ripped up, shredded, tossed around.
The people that did the things they did knew doggone well what they were doing.
Expose the cover-up now at anoblelie.com.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
It is so enlightening to listen to 90.1 FM, but finding things on the internet isn't so easy, and neither is finding like-minded people to share it with.
Oh, well, I guess you haven't heard of Brave New Books then.
Brave New Books?
Yes, Brave New Books has all the books and DVDs you're looking for by authors like Alex Jones, Ron Paul, and G. Edward Griffin. They even stock Interfood, Berkey products, and Calbin soaps.
There's no way a place like that exists.
Go check it out for yourself. It's downtown at 1904 Guadalupe Street, just south of UT.
By UT, there's never anywhere to park down there.
Actually, they now offer a free hour of parking for paying customers at the 500 MLK parking facility, just behind the bookstore.
It does exist, but when are they open?
Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and 1 to 6 p.m. on Sundays. So give them a call at 512-480-2503 or check out their events page at bravenewbookstore.com.
Live Free Speech Radio, LogosRadioNetwork.com.
With Truth News Radio Australia. My name's Harold Fenton, and you can find our show on the internet at truthnews.com.au. And of course, we also broadcast on the Logos Radio Network. And if you're listening to us on the Logos Radio Network, please do check out our website, and you can subscribe to our podcast. And we have quite a lot of other articles on there, and quite often comments and other information, so you may find it worthwhile to check out the website. Now, Damon, you were expressing the opinion there that Western civilization is being taken over a cliff, and that that's, you know, going to happen over the next year or so. I'd just like to, well, throw a different perspective on that. I think that Asia is doing very well for itself. I mean, Australia is in a decline. I mean, we see a decline happening, especially emphasized by things like the carbon tax, which are designed to push us down. You know, they're designed to cripple us. We know that. But what I see in Asia is everything is booming here, mate. I mean, things are really looking up. And, I mean, growth in Thailand was 5% last year. And China's growth has slowed a little bit. It's still, you know, by comparison to Western countries, it's just so way ahead. And I think really that also applies to India, the Philippines, Malaysia, Taiwan. You know, all of these countries are really in an upturn. You know, they're not in a down phase at all.
Well, so, they better get a new global currency to underpin them, or trade in another currency amongst themselves, or invent a new currency, because you've got a global system that has no backup.
Yeah.
So there's no gold underpinning the United States dollar, the US greenback, and there's nothing really underpinning the euro. And the US has been dead on the gurney since 2008 when it was declared dead. And a 24-hour emergency resuscitation process was required to bring any life back into it. And, of course, all we did is delay the inevitable. And, of course, the EU is already dead on the gurney as well now. And now they're both on artificial life support systems. So, and the true debt, you know, anybody thinks the US debt is $17 trillion probably needs to do a little more investigation to find out what the true toxic derivatives, share swap, casino royale debt of those economies are. I mean, people speculate up around $200-300 trillion. I don't know. There's a lot of toxic crap in that system, and it's about to go down, which, by the way, was the underpinning premise of Killing Me Softly. You know, that was a card game that Brad Pitt was basically getting involved in, where the people who are running the card game, i.e. a criminal financial racket, because there was heaps of money floating around a table, he decides to collapse that card game. He decides to hold up his own card game, collect all the money, and collapse the very thing that he'd created, which is exactly what they did in 1930, right, by the Rothschilds and so forth. And then the subsequent plot is the people who pulled the heist, they get tracked down, and the guy that you know, who originally ran the card game, who made it collapse the first time, he gets labelled as the guy that's as the sort of the patsy for the second time it collapses. And anyway, you've got to watch the movie, because it's too hard for me to explain in a short period of time. But it's a very close approximation to what's happening in the globe today.
Yeah.
And look, I'm glad the Asia's doing well and India's doing well. The problem is when the US and the euro collapse, which is not a question of if but when, and that'll be a time of their choosing, no one's going to really be able to come through it unscathed. Now, I agree. I think you'd be better off living in the so-called third world type countries, because they're not so reliant on it and they're much more self-sufficient. And the more higher up the OECD you are, the more you're going to feel the pain, I think. So, you know, I agree in that sense. But there's no way out of this. Anybody who thinks that there's a way out of this is clearly delusional, in my opinion. There is no way out of this. This is going to go bang, because the debt that the artificial life support system, the equivalent of chemotherapy that they're treating the terminally ill cancer patient with, is going to kill the patient more than the cancer that they've got.
Yeah, the quantitative
easing. Debt that they're racking up on, I mean, the debt that the US are racking up, Australia's racked up $250 billion. And we're spending our time talking about, is Tony Abbott a misogynist or not? And, you know, or Peter Slipper, merry-go-round thing goes around again, you know, that pervert. Or the Craig Thompson thing goes around again. We don't talk about anything that's important. And we're about to walk off the edge of a cliff, and we're worried about those things. Now, if that isn't evidence of psychosis, I don't know what is. I mean, talk about an illusion.
Yes, indeed. It is incredible. I mean, this is real. You know, folks, we're not, you're not exaggerating. You're not trying to make this more than it is. I mean, you've had to come to grips with this, and a few years ago.
Which I didn't know. You know, quite frankly, it hasn't been an easy task.
Yeah.
Spending hundreds of hours, you know, spending 2 or 3 hours studying this every day. I don't know why I'm possessed to go and research all this stuff. But most people walk around blissfully ignorant. And the problem is they'll have their day. I'll cope with the collapse a lot better because I know it's coming. But when these delusional nutcases that are walking around in day-to-day life who are worried, I mean, I've got a next-door neighbour that paints OH&S yellow safety markers around his garage to park his car. I've got a guy that pulls, if I'm, my bin's full and I put stuff in his bin, he pulls my stuff out of his bin and puts it on top of my bin. If I park my bin in a cul-de-sac in the curb and guttering or in the gutter at the front of his place, he moves it and puts it out in the cul-de-sac where he thinks my house extends to, even though we're in, you know, public property. I mean, there's a new movie out from Australia, which is a fantastic movie if anybody overseas wanted to see, but called Mental. It's a bit like Muriel Wedding. I think it was made by the same people. Very, very good job. Great actors in it. Excellently done. That's about the suburban psychosis of the average suburban person, which quantifiably proves that the average person in suburbia is clinically psychotic.
Right. That's, so this is an Australian movie?
Yeah, it's called Mental. It's got the same lady that starred in Muriel's Wedding, which I should know if I didn't have Alzheimer's.
Now, there's just a story here on my Twitter feed which would reinforce what you're saying. Switzerland is arming in preparation for a European meltdown. The Swiss army is preparing contingency plans for violent unrest across Europe. A nation mostly famous for its banks, watches and chocolate fears it may face a massive influx of European refugees in the near future. One of the world's richest nations openly expressed concerns over the possible outcome of Europe's continuing financial troubles and is currently conducting army exercises against the possibility of riots along its borders. Now, of course, Switzerland never did adopt the euro and has a very, very protective approach to its own society and economy, with everyone essentially being armed, everyone being prepared to defend Switzerland. And how do you think Switzerland's going to fare? And I mean, what could we see? Could we indeed see Switzerland as like an island in the midst of this chaos?
I don't know about that area. All I can tell you is the fruitcakes behind the EU have certainly got an agenda, and that's to hold that thing together as delicately poised as it is. I mean, how do you go from Ireland coming out of the 90s in the dot-com boom as one of the Celtic Tiger? How does that go from there to being, one of the pigs?
Yeah.
It's a shocking term, I know, and I don't mean to be derogatory
towards any of those
countries, because I love all those countries and I think they're beautiful sovereign countries, and I think it's an absolute crime what's been done to them, but you know what I mean.
Indeed. Indeed. But I mean, we saw this part of the world, Thailand, was driven into that in about mid-1990s, 1997, I believe it was, and I believe it was done by one George Soros. He took the credit for it, of creating the Asian crash of 97. And the tiger economies of Southeast Asia collapsed at that point due to a currency fiddling. I believe it was done in quite a deliberate, evil way. It's amazing how George Soros has sort of brushed himself off and come across as this wonderful philanthropist now, when he has such a history of really quite criminal behaviour.
He's an absolute known fruitcake, and if you haven't got to that situation, then you really need to catch up a little bit. If you think that this financial system is guided independently of the powers to be, like actually a friend of the family, a smart guy, one of these smart dumb guys, works in the US from Australia, travels from there all the time. He believes that the Federal Reserve is a completely independent body, nothing corrupt, completely above board, and that I'm mental. And to him, this whole thing's going to come as an awful shock. But, you know, there's people like me that have done an enormous amount of work and research, and they're trying to wake up the people that are under this illusion, under this spell that they've cast on the population. And they actually attack the people that are trying to wake them up, which is very difficult.
Indeed. And that is part of the syndrome, isn't it? It's part of the psychological conditioning. Not only are you, if you're in this state, not only are you unable to think for yourself, you're somehow impelled to suppress other people's free thinking as well. It's an extraordinary combination. With Truth News Radio, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Oklahoma City bombing. Top 10 reasons to question the official story. Reason number 2, why was the ATF AWOL? Paramedic Tiffany Bible, who was on the scene within 5 minutes, has stated in an affidavit that agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms told her that they were not in their office that morning. EMT Catherine Mallett also overheard one agent say to another, quote, is that why we got the page to not come in today, end quote. Bruce Shaw, as interviewed on KFOR-TV, was also told by ATF agents that they had been paged to not come into work. The ATF initially denied these claims and now variously claim that one of their agents was in a free-falling elevator, which has been disproven, or that they had been in an all-night stakeout, or that they had been at a golf tournament. As they try to sort out their lies, all we want to know is, did the ATF receive a warning, and if so, why did they not pass it on to others in the Murrah Valley? For more information, go to OKCBombingTruth.com.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with JurisDictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. JurisDictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. It's great to have your company today. We're just musing on the impending end of the universe as we know it. I don't believe it will be the end. I just believe that there will be a punctuation. Of course, you know, that's history. History is rise and fall, collapse, resurgence, decline, collapse. Whether this is all being engineered by puppet masters or whether it is in some way an expression of a process that we do not understand, I don't know. But it is coming. Something is coming. It's down there. We can feel it. It's like you can feel the waves of, it's like, you know, there's a bushfire coming, you can feel those waves of heat, or, you know, it's like there's a volcano about to erupt and you've got those rumblings and you don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but we all are pretty sure it's going to happen. I'd like to just cover a few stories about what's going on in terms of the hard edge of the military industrial complex and the takeover of the world by this rampant military machine, which is, you know, nominally the United States, but I really don't even believe that the United States is to be blamed, or we should say, well, the problem with the world is the United States. That again is a completely delusional way of actually looking at it, but one which is very easy to fall into. But let's just have a look at some of the latest news that we do have on that front. We have Secretary of State Hillary Clinton saying the buck stops here. Incredibly ballsy comment from an incredibly ballsy Secretary of State who has told CNN that she will take the blame for any shortcomings in the handling of an attack last month on the US mission in the Libyan city of Benghazi. "I take responsibility," she said. And she added that with the US presidential election drawing near, "I want to avoid any kind of political gotcha." So, of course, the event she's talking about was the murder of the US ambassador and several other top aides from the US embassy in Libya. And it turns out I've got a couple of articles here. One is from the Bangkok Post, in which it says, "In the immediate aftermath of the death, U.S. administration officials said that it appeared to be linked to protests in the Muslim world against a film that was shot by U.S.-based activists, which was deemed to be insulting to the Islamic faith. But it has since emerged that the prime suspects in the attack, now seen as a deliberate assault, are Islamist militants with links to, you guessed it, Al-Qaeda." And this, coupled with recent reports we've had from Syria, where the Syrian rebels, I mean, this has actually been on video, this is documented, the Syrian rebels have said that they will not stop their revolution till they have planted the flag in Washington on top of the Capitol Hill. They actually said that, you know, we're coming to get you. And these are the people that the US is supporting. And again, they're the people who have all the hallmarks of the classic Al-Qaeda fanatics who want to destroy America. It's actually a bit mind-boggling. I mean, what is your take on that, Damon?
Oh, I don't know. It's all very obvious, isn't it? I mean, you know, so at one stage, Al-Qaeda's on our side when we're fighting the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, and then we're fighting against them after they pin 9/11 on them, and then they're on our side as we invade Gaddafi, who's one of them, but they've now decided to turn on him. I mean, I don't know, I don't even bother even following it anymore, to be perfectly honest. It is so ridiculous. It is so totally insane. It really makes me wonder how anybody possibly believes in it.
Yes, I agree. It is actually really hard to take it seriously. It's like a cartoon. And yet the people who are the actors in this cartoon are immensely powerful. They are actually in charge of all of our infrastructure. You know, they're making key decisions that affect you and me every day.
Psychotic lunatics are running the game. As bizarre as that sounds, and if I said that to myself probably no more than 5 years ago, I would have thought I was mental. But in fact, that's where it all leads to. And I don't think there's anything we can do about it, because if anybody thinks you're going to wake up the masses before they pull this third and final act, you're kidding. The large majority of people are so induced into a hypnotic trance, a coma, that there is no chance of them waking up between now and then. I kind of believe that there was a possibility, but in recent experiences, I've found that people are fairly immovable. I mean, I would say, look, if you look at Australia, 30% of the population are hired and employed by local, state and federal government. And as a result, they vote Labor habitually, and they follow that government of persuasion like a football team. And I know anybody who's listening to this all around the world would have exactly the same scenario happening there. And then you've got the right-hand side and so forth. There's only a very, very small percentage of the population that is actually independent and doesn't believe pathologically in what their political party or persuasion is spewing out, and the percentage of them that are woken up is very small. You're probably only talking really wake people. There's probably half of 1%. That's a number that I've heard a couple of times. There's probably 20 or 30% of people that have a bit of an idea. There's probably 50% of people that have a sense that something's wrong, but not much more than that. But the large majority of people are unbelievably, you know, in a trance. They're operating at about 1% of their, you know,
their mental capacity, I would think.
But, you know, Damon, there's been some studies, and I looked at this recently, that have suggested that you only need something like 5%. It's quite a small amount to actually induce complete change in,
yeah, 6%,
in human
activity. I think it's 5. Anyway, somewhere between 5 and 10, yep.
Yeah, somewhere between 5 and 10. And almost all major changes and revolutions have been actually triggered from that small group that then just reaches this turning point. And it's always a minority which turns the majority. Now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily a good blueprint, because typically what we see is this happens and then it just, things don't get better. Although,
well, I think you probably need a 500% growth in where it is at the moment. I think you need, yeah, 5 to 10 times the amount of people that are currently awake. And that, you know, that's shades of grey. So there's a lot of people who say they're awake, probably including myself, who aren't really starting to, you know, who don't even still completely figured out the complete magnitude of what we're up against here.
Well, yeah,
I mean, we're up, yeah, against, it's much more than just, you know, corrupt organisations, you know, bad political people or naughty boys, or the Rothschilds,
yeah,
or the Vatican potentially, or the Jesuits. It's much more than that.
But, you know, if I can just mention, Damon, the psychological conditioning, and this is something I really want to get into more and more in this show, is that the psychological conditioning which affects all of us is so powerful and is so crippling in many cases that it is actually probably the most important thing to look at. And I'm continuously looking at it in myself to try and figure out how I can get out of the conditioned state I'm in. And I've tried, but I find it very, very difficult. And the psychological factors that are deeply programmed into me, and this is probably going back decades since I was a baby, and it's also been compounded by the food I've eaten and the drugs I've been given and the fluoride, yeah, and everything, it actually has made me, I know, it's limited my ability to self-actualize, to get things done, to be effective. I know I'm nowhere near as effective as
we're
I could be.
We're all operating it at 1 or 2 or 3 or 4% capacity, right?
Yeah.
Once you realize that, then you can start healing yourself.
Yeah.
It's the complete, you know, knuckleheads that think that they're operating at 95%. It's the ignorant and naive who think they're intelligent. They're the problem. And that is only possible by a completely malignant ego, an artificial construct of the mind that they have programmed and installed onto your operating system, your mind. And your true ego, which is the true spirit, your spirit is really the ego of the soul, if you like. Your true spirit is something quite different than your artificially constructed ego. Most people's artificial constructed ego, and we've all got one thanks to the system, is a cancerous, malignant thing that you could only possibly begin to heal yourself if and when you've got some sense of awareness. Everybody's capable of healing themselves, but it can't come externally. I can't heal them. I can't wake them up. Everybody has got a degree of programming. All of us have got some degree of programming, and the healing process only begins once you've figured out that you need to be disconnected from the program. You've got to unconnect, like a tangled bunch of fishing line, all those connected synapses of malignant personalities and ego that have been a construct of the mind, which is completely artificial.
Do you believe that there is a spiritual reality, Damon? I mean, I know you're not a religious person.
I mean, that's exactly what's going on. Anybody thinks, looks up at the stars and, yeah, doesn't think that we're connected to a grander design. And the people we're up against know this. That's why that they've protected a lot of these great knowledge. I'd love to be part of the Freemasons, quite frankly. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of the Freemasons? I mean, I'm sure there's very intelligent and great leaders in the past that knew about all this mysticism and occultism and which is only means hidden anyway. And it is the meaning of the universe. It is an encoded enigma, and if you can encode the riddle, you have got the meaning of life. I mean, who we are and where we came from, are they not the key questions?
Indeed. Look, we'll probably have to wind it up there, Damon. Very interesting perspective you bring on all this. And I'm glad to hear that you understand that there is this greater mystery, and this is something that I'm here to look into. You know, I think that's what we're here for. That's why we're alive, to understand it. With Truth News Radio Australia, we'll be right back after the break with Hour 2. Please stay with us.
Would you like to make more definite progress in your walk with God? Bibles for America is offering a free study Bible and a set of free Christian books that can really help. The New Testament Recovery Version is one of the most comprehensive study Bibles available today. It's an accurate translation, and it contains thousands of footnotes that will help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free books are a three-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing in Christ, and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. Or visit us online at bfa.org.
Looking for some truth? You found it. LogosRadioNetwork.com.